This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with my colleague Joseph Sternberg, political economics columnist for the Wall Street Journal, a member of the editorial board. He's in London observing America, visiting America, puzzling about America, as we all do, as we go into a recession that may or may not be here. I believe the consensus, the overwhelming consensus, is recession is coming. It's been coming for some time. So I'm not going to debate that. I'm going to go to, are we well prepared? Is Europe well prepared? I believe Christine Lagarde, the president, the leader of the European Central Bank, is of the same mind as Jerome Powell of the Federal Reserve, Andrew Bailey of the Bank of England, all raising rates in anticipation of recession. So the first frequently asked question is it working? Do we have any evidence that it's working either in London or on the continent or in America? Have you got a verdict, Joe? Open the envelope, please.
Oh, I mean, if the question is, are we successfully fighting inflation? I mean, for now, I think the answer is still no. Because the inflation is still there, and we can't say how long it is going to persist. It really isn't clear even that a lot of the central banks or other policymakers understand what they need to do to keep inflation under control, let alone to achieve that with as mild a recession as possible.
And so right now, the verdict is not in. The jury's still out. So we turn to specifics about the U.S. Jerome Powell and his governors were adamant that they're going to stay the course as they raised rates again in December, half a point. We don't have another meeting for a few days. Wall Street is acting dissolute, punch drunk, unable to make certain of the future because they've failed in all their predictions for 22. Is that a good thing, Joe? Is it good that the plutocrats are unhappy? Does Jerome Powell smile? Does that buoy his step when he talks about what he's going to do next?
Well, I think that the big problem is that it's not really clear anymore what the plan is. I mean, part of this is this conceptual issue that the Fed is convinced that what they need to do is achieve a higher unemployment rate in order to suppress inflation. I'm a bit skeptical about whether that will operate in the way that they think that it will. But anyway, that's what they're doing. I think that we are potentially headed for a recession of some sort simply because what is happening, and this is very helpful, is that the Fed is finally unwinding this extraordinary asset price inflation that we had over the past 15 years. I mean, that's the significance of equity markets having had such a bad year during 2022. And that's not necessarily a bad thing in the grand scheme of things, because that means that we're going to have some hope in the future of a more efficient allocation of capital in the economy. We're going to be chasing fewer bubbles on Wall Street. But I think that, you still run into this problem that there's a lot of confusion also about what the alternative should be if you're not going to have a financial bubble. And ideally, you would have the elected branches of government, the president and the Congress, enacting a supply side agenda that would sort of deregulate and reduce taxes to stimulate more supply in the economy while the Fed was leaning on demand. We are definitely not seeing that kind of pivot. So I think that it's a bleak year potentially ahead. And that then raises this troubling prospect that the markets are going to start actively betting against the Fed, because they will assume that no matter what Jerome Powell says today about his determination to fight inflation, if you do start seeing a recession, he will prioritize cutting rates over continuing to control inflation. So I think that we're facing the potential for a new challenge to Powell's credibility in the year ahead.
Yes, I read these rumors. Well, they're not really rumors. They're not even whispers. They're said out loud. He will bend. This 2% target is so unrealistic, everybody rolls their eyes, I've been told. So we come now to what is ahead of us, which is to reduce inflation by reducing spending. Out of luck, Joe. Since we last talked, I believe they passed the omnibus. I believe the number is 1.7 trillion. How easy it is to say trillion these days. I don't think in my first 20 years of broadcasting I ever used that word, except for, an exaggerated stance about how far away a star is. Trillion. 1.7 trillion. Added that, the Inflation Reduction Act, which is all about government spending on green. Isn't that all inflationary, Joe? Doesn't that suggest that Jerome Powell is not being taken seriously?
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of components of all of the spending that do have the potential to be inflationary. And it's not strictly speaking about the level of government debt, because you could imagine scenarios where the debt might grow up, but the policy would be disinflationary. You have to look at what the policies actually do. And I think that the problem with something like this $1.7 trillion blowout is that it has all of the social spending that increases demand in the economy at the same time that Congress allowed to expire a bunch of the tax cuts that were involved in the, you know, that were passed as part of the 2017 tax reform. That is going to have the effect of further disincentivizing additional supply in the economy. So if you have fiscal policy pumping up demand while you're suppressing supply, what do they think is going to happen? I mean, that's the recipe for more inflationary pressure in the economy.
So we can expect that the spending, which Congress has now vouchsafed, the 117th Congress, hasn't yet contributed to inflation, but the potential is there, the actual is there ahead of us. Back to Mr. Powell, that means that Congress will be interested in his testimony. That's a polite way of saying they'll put pressure on him. And that is the nature of his post. Do you expect him to bend, Joe? Can we make a prognostication? Jerome Powell, will he suddenly announce that 5% unemployment is unacceptable and he's going to cut rates?
Well, I mean, we're going to have to see. This is going to be the big question, because over the past year, he has been talking very tough at long last about inflation and signaling his determination to fight it. But we are only now reaching the point where that is going to start being painful for more and more people. And that is going to increase the political pressure on him. And so this is the real test of his credibility at this point, whether he can keep going despite the growing levels of pain that people will be feeling in the economy.
Best and worst moments for the monetary policy. I go first. The best moment, I can't say it's the worst moment. The best moment absolutely is I never heard of somebody named Bankman-Fried before. I heard of him all the time. Nor did I know what FTX stood for. Nor did I have any idea that crypto was so pervasive around the world. And there were a great number of younger people and people from other countries putting their hopes and dreams and easy money into what looks to be a good old-fashioned Ponzi scheme. Had you ever heard of it, Joe, before it was in the news all the time, this scheme out of the Bahamas?
Not particularly, and that would actually rank as my best and worst monetary moment of the year. It was the worst monetary moment because I think that this FTX scandal revealed the extent of the excess that we had built up over the past 15 years. And so that should be deeply embarrassing to the Fed to have allowed that kind of bubble to inflate. But it was also a good moment for monetary policy in two ways. First off, its collapse is a sign that reality is starting to reimpose itself. And also, it has been allowed to fail. There was no talk of bailing crypto out. And I think if there had been, that would have had some pretty dramatic economic and monetary policy consequences. I think that we are very fortunate that no one talked about giving Sam Bankman-Fried any kind of help to get out of that jam.
Is there now a good road for regulating cryptocurrency? Does that suggest that there's a positive here? I note, I mean, it's all gossip, that the Security Exchange Commission seems to have been compromised somewhat by Bankman-Fried having dinner or dining or meeting its chief counsel, who has now left the SEC. So the SEC, Mr. Gensler, would be the road to regulate cryptocurrency. Is that a good thing coming out of this, Joe? Or is that more heavy-handed government chase the participants into other corners?
I'm not sure it's super relevant because, I mean, the fact of FTX's collapse, as with so many business stories in years gone by, points out that the most effective regulation in any economy is a normal interest rate. Because, you know, it's the normalization of monetary policy that has caused the rotation out of a lot of these inflated nonsense assets, like, you know, whatever people were trading on FTX. And so I think that really the clue here, or the message, is that you need monetary policy itself to serve as a form of financial regulation. And let's focus on doing that instead of trying to look for new ways for the SEC or any other regulator to kind of backfill the role that that monetary policy should be playing anyway.
Joseph Sternberg is in London for the Wall Street Journal editorial page. He writes political economics. We're going to Life in London next. And a surprise announcement from Extinction Rebellion. I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.